I would like to change how kindness is perceived in our job as researchers, as future professors, but also in general within society. I mean that usually, in general, kindness, I think, unfortunately, is associated with weakness. Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're kind, people assume that you're weak. Mm. Also in your job, you often can hear people say, "Ah, you're too kind, you're way too kind, you should be more harsh, you should be a bit more aggressive in the way you do your job. May this job be talking with students or, I don't know, engaging with other professors." You are expected to be not kind because kindness is seen as something that makes you weak and less respectable.
Martina is doing a PhD in Rome at the Sapienza and Lewis University in cybersecurity. She told me that she has 20 cats. Yes, 20 cats. I don't know if that's one of the reasons she wanted to talk about kindness today, but listen to this very first episode to find out soon.
How come kindness is associated? Because it's true. I mean, also for me, I have this association sometimes that also we have this in French, we say trop bon, trop con, which basically means too good, too stupid, too nice, too stupid. But so why is that? I mean, how come there's such association?
I think like if we are talking about the field that we are in, if we want to get a bit more specific, I think when you think about a famous professor, I think you imagine someone that is very strict in his work, someone who worked hard to get where it is, and to do so he had to make sacrifices, and often these sacrifices are assumed to be connected with try to be stronger than the events that you have to face in your life. So for instance, being a professor, we know is super hard because once you do the PhD, you have to publish a lot. If you don't publish, you don't get recognition, and then you cannot even access the resources to be a professor. And so we think that by being kind, the chances that you have to rise are also lower because the more challenges you have to face, the more strong you have to be. And
so basically, you need to have, I don't remember the English word exactly, but tough skin, like hard skin.
Yeah, hard skin.
And maybe that's why you shouldn't be nice, because nice, maybe at the end, would you say that being nice is associated with being sensitive, and instead you should be not sensitive and have a hard, tough skin and just go your way without...
Yeah, basically, according to this, you should not care about other people and you should just go your way and try to get there, no matter the cost. But I think that if we are kind, we also have to think about what other people may be facing. Maybe we don't know what they are facing because they don't tell us. So it's all about empathy. And I have been told a lot of times in these 2 years as being like a PhD, but also as a tutor for courses, that you're way too kind to do this job. And at first, it hurt me a bit because I started thinking, maybe I should change. I need to grow up and start to be a little less nice to people. But then I like ask myself, do I really want this change in me? Do I really need this change? Am I the problem? Or maybe the problem is that being nice is associated with something that is actually not true. I personally believe that I hope that I can achieve all my aims in life without having to discourage other people, without having to put other people down just for the sake of achieving my aim.
That's very interesting. So, for example, I mean, I don't know. So we are talking about academia. I think there's the same, for example, in politics with politicians, no? It's so like, if you want to be on the top, become the president, being elected or something, you need to be hard, tough skin. I don't know that expression. But so there is the same. And I imagine in many kind of careers.
Yeah.
And my question is then, if someone is ambitious and wants to have the really top position, do you think that at the end, for that kind of aim, they should somehow not always be so nice? Or do you think that, because you say, I understand this, that you hope you can achieve all your aims, keeping your nice qualities. And I mean, this is because maybe you have some kind of aims that are not the most ambitious top one to be, for example, president of the country. Do you think that for very ambitious position like that, actually, yes, indeed, at some point you shouldn't be nice? Or do you think that even to be president of a country, we can be...
Imagine if actually a president of a country was nice.
Yeah.
Maybe it could also be a better model, I think. Someone that we can actually relate to. And often ambition is like associated with wanting to reach the top and doing everything that you can to reach it. But I think it's also a matter on how we see ambition. So maybe my ambition is not to become the president of, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
But even if my ambition was that, I would not compromise my understanding of how a human being should behave with other human beings.
Yeah.
Also, I think that a lot of politicians, unfortunately, nowadays that want to reach the top tend to be like obnoxious and super excessive in their behaviors, also to attract maybe more extremist views.
Yeah.
And they sometimes say super crazy stuff just to get attention.
Mm.
But then I think we don't really know in the end, even if they reach their ambitions, we don't know how really do they feel. Maybe they appear as happy to have reached their ambitions, but in the end they feel shitty because they know that they are not being nice.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, acting like this, I don't think it promotes like a good atmosphere, let's say. People just, this creates more violence, let's say, in a way. And
it also normalizes this behavior.
Yeah. So I have an idea about that. Actually, I'm thinking of something related before having this conversation. That maybe in society, because I would like to know, where does it come from that some people are nice, some people are not nice? Because with this idea that I had is that some part of the population, basically, we have certain personality characteristics, whatever, and we tend to care less about others, to be more resilient and more into leadership, power, etc., and less about empathy, nice, kindness. And some people on the opposite, they are more into kindness. And I was wondering about that. Like, do you think that there is some... Where does it come from that some people are nicer than others? Is it something artificial or natural? Or
I think that obviously the first moments when we understand what is nice means is maybe when we are small, when we are small children.
Yeah.
We relate to other people that are like us, and we start to realize that some people, even if they are small human beings, they are not nice. Like, I don't think that being nice is something that we are born with. It's also a matter of our personal character, but it's also a matter of education. I think I was very lucky with my family, because they tried, like, they are people that aimed to have an happy life, just a normal happy life with a good family, like simple life, not extra ambitious life. And when growing up, they taught me this, that to be happy doesn't mean that you have to reach the top. Maybe you reach the middle of the stair, but if you reach that middle and you still are true to yourself, then it is a happy life. And when I grew up and I started to relating to people of my age, also in my teenage years, I sometimes had difficulties to relate to them, to a lot of stuff, like also with girls, I had maybe a bit of difficulties to relating to what they were doing in their teenage years. And I always tried to be nice to them, and none of them was nice to me. And then in that moment, like maybe I thought to myself that I was wrong. Maybe I should be like them. I should be a little less nice and just behave like them.
A bit more bitchy.
A bit more bitchy, yes. Because it was easier.
Yeah.
Because if I was like that, then I could relate more to them. I could do the stuff that they... And this created a lot of hurt within me, because I was just a teenager, an insecure teenager. So I didn't know how I had to behave in society. But then I also was lucky enough to find friends that were like me. So maybe we were the underdogs, you know. We were not like the others, but we were nice to each other, and that was it. But I don't think that you are born nice or not nice. It also depends on the context where you grow up.
So you say it doesn't. You say it also depends. So just to clarify, do you think it's there is a bit a part of being born like this or not, and then education makes the most of it, or do you think that there is only education and not at all the role of genetics or whatever?
No, I think the most part is education and relations to your, not necessarily to your family, because then you detach from it, but the relations with your group of peers, so people of your age. But then, yeah, maybe there are some people that are most likely to be nice when they are born, and some people that are not.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely I think it's the most comes from society.
Yeah. And so why do you think it would be important to bring more kindness in the workplace, in academia or in politics or whatever work?
Well, if we think about academia, we all know that is a bit of a toxic environment. Like, we are very happy to do this career. We are, I mean, it's the best because we love doing research and we can do it in this environment. But at the same time, we have a lot of pressure on ourselves to perform, to be great in what we do, even if it's our first experience in doing it, because we are just learning how to do research. And if we are hopefully going to become professors, I think a professor should teach his students something. And this might be every discipline on the world, can be politics, international relations, political philosophy, what you want. But in the end, even if you are talking to students, you are also talking with people that may be facing issues in their life. So when I think of myself as a professor in the future, I hope that I can be a person that my students can rely on, not just for just doing a lecture and going home and that's it. So I think kindness in academia is important for this, to educate also our students that it's possible to reach that level of like ambition and become a professor, which is a high achievement in your career, but also doing it without compromising your values as a person. So it's not true that every professor is not replying to you, or that is maybe angry all the time, or is not available. Maybe there are also, unfortunately, there are also people that are like this. So there is, it's true that you can do it.
So, and do you think in other sectors than academia also that would be better to bring?
Yeah, definitely, because I know, because cybersecurity is a field that also covers the corporate sector. I know a lot of young professionals in that do corporate jobs, and every time they tell me that everyone is so hungry all the time and rude. Maybe you do a job for the first time and they don't tell you, look, this job, it's nice, but it has some problems and you should fix this, you can improve this, you can change this. They just destroy what you're doing. And I ask myself, is this really helpful in making the job better? Or does it create anxiety, stress, and also like you are not liking the job that you do because you know that you are going to be offended by someone that is on a top position? So I don't think it's productive in terms of work. Also, think of, I don't know, everyone, I think, in our experience had at one point of their life a professor that was not so nice, no? It happened to me during my bachelor back in Florence. I was doing my first exam in political science, which is now a topic that I love. And I was doing this exam with this professor, who is a very renowned professor. And obviously, I was super nervous because it was my first oral exam at university. And I remember he asked me something about elections in Italy, how the system works. And I panicked because I remember I could not understand this proportional system of elections in Italy. And he told me, you should go back to elementary school. And it is clear that your parents are like stupid people.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
It's terrible. And I remember I went home and I started crying and I wanted to give up university because it's not like, how is this encouraging me to study better for that topic? That's, and you have to realize that this is a 65-year-old man telling this to a 19 years young woman who is just trying to understand what she wants to do with her life. And now I am a PhD student, so I think that I have reached the confidence to understand that I can do research. But back in the day, I was like, why these people, like, why can this professor not be nice to me? Even if I am not doing the job and I was not good in that oral exam, it's clear because I was too insecure. But at the same time, why?
What's the point of saying to someone, breaking them like this?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even going to help. It's not even going to encourage you to study more or something. No. The total opposite. So.
Yeah.
And so, for example, taking that example, let's try to put ourselves in their shoes, because if they behave like this, there must be some kind of reason. Like, why would someone say that?
I don't know. I think you have to think about, he's 65. Obviously, when he started his PhD or his academic career, things were different. And maybe he was taught by his superior that he had to be, you know, strong and everything to reach that level. And once you reach that level, you achieved your ambition and you feel like you can have the power to behave like this to young students. So maybe it's a matter of also of power dynamics and the way they are perceived in society, especially by elderly men, I think, in Italy also.
So, I mean, I'm connecting the dots. You've told me many things. And at the end, a theme that I see is that you said people, okay, they can be nicer or less, of course, by maybe a bit of part of genetics or whatever, but mostly by education. And then we're talking about, in this example, someone who also learned by the example of previous people who told them how to do.
Yeah.
So it seems that there, it's always something that we learn from experience in our education, yeah. So young, also in society, because we see how things work and we are told that this is how things should work, etc. So we reproduce what we see around us, basically.
Yeah.
So, because this podcast is entitled One Change in the World, because actually it comes from a quote which is wrongly attributed to Gandhi, but it's supposed to be Gandhi, who was saying, be the change you want to see in the world. So my question there is, what would be one solution for that? I would like we try to think about that. And then how us at the individual level, we could actually go toward that. So if this is something that we learn from experience, from what's around us, yeah. From society, it's kind of hard maybe as an individual person to do something, no?
Yeah.
So do you see any solution for that kind of problem of kindness in general?
Well, I think that first it has to start with an individual reflection. Like, even no matter the aim that we have in life, no matter the achievements that we want to arrive to, we have to reflect on ourselves. So I think that for me, the most important part is that when I go to sleep at the end of the day, I want to think that I am a good person. So even if I am not doing the most, because to do that I would have to, I don't know, treat someone badly or just, you know, take advantage of another person. I'm not going to do that, because at the end of the day, I want to go to sleep and think, I was a good person. I was nice. Yeah. Because then I cannot live with myself. And in our life, we are forced to live with just one person, which is ourselves.
So forever and ever.
So at least I want to be happy with myself. So at the individual level, this is very important. And how can we do it? Think about in our field, we are young scholars. We are given the opportunity also to relate to young students. It's always important to remember that, unfortunately, we have always to have a level of detachment from people. So
yeah, just 1 minute. Yeah. I'm gonna first. So it's the first time I'm recording. So of course there was a technical problem, and we lack storage. But now we're back.
We're back at it.
So we were talking about maybe some solutions at the level of society or at the individual level.
Yeah.
So please.
So yeah, I thought that first we have to reflect on ourselves. So at the individual levels, in our field as young, hopefully academics, I think it's important to us to show a model of relating to students. On the one hand, still showing, of course, a detachment because we are not friends, but at the same time, try to engage, understand if, I don't know, everything is clear, if we do our job in a good way, if we can help them. And I think people maybe that are doing this job could respond to this by saying, ah, but it's a lot of work, it's overwhelming, there are like 200 students, we cannot look after each one of them. Yes, but at the same time, this is our job. So if our job is being professors and researchers, as professors, it's our job to take into account the instances of these students. It might be difficult, it might be draining, but at the same time, if we achieved the goal, it doesn't matter that then we can take advantage of our power and just don't give a damn about what other students are doing. So at the individual level. And also I think that behaving like this as professors, then we show also a model to the students, because they can see that even if this person is on top of the chain of academia, is still being a nice person. Maybe they know that you are known for being nice to students, but nice does not mean weak, and nice does not mean not strict. I can be a nice person and telling you, you are not passing this exam. I can be a nice person and doing an oral exam and telling you, I'm sorry, you have to redo the exam. But it's not a matter of weakness or being, I don't know, that easy with doing the maximum grade to the student. It's about how you relate to them. So we can show this model.
So what would you say is the difference between being kind and saying you don't pass? And like people are thinking that it's not kind to say that, you know?
Because like I can still be respectful in my job, like doing the job properly and evaluating you in a way that is impartial. So telling this exam is doing great, you are getting the maximum grade. This exam is not good, you have to redo the exam. Being honest does not mean that I'm not nice. It just means that I am honest in my job, but I'm doing it in a nice way. So I'm not telling you, this exam is shit, you suck, you're not going to make it, you're not going to be like, you're stupid. This is doing the job, but not in a nice way. So it's different. And this also helps us to understand the difference between being weak and being nice. And as I told you at the start of the podcast, I think that these are associated. But this is also true, for instance, for being empathic or for being sensitive. You, unfortunately, it's often associated with being a weak person, because a strong person does not cry or does not care. But it's not true.
So at the individual level, that would be because indeed we learn not to be kind by seeing others being not kind. But at the individual level, it would be to show the example, being ourselves kind with others, to show basically that someone can make it and be successful person without being a terrible person. At the level of the society, do you think that there is one solution, or it needs to start with each person showing the good example? Because what you were also describing to me is that most of the people, they learn it from from what they know, but there is kind of a cycle, no? Because people learn it from before, before, so there's a system there.
It's definitely a chain of people making up the system. So the more individuals make a change by behaving in a nice way and treating people with more kindness, and the more they show that this is not incompatible with achieving your goals, and it's not incompatible also with being competitive, because you can be competitive in a sportive way and just be nice to the adversary.
Right. So that means that basically to break this system that forces the things and looks to reproduce itself all the time, there should be more people who identify it as a systematic problem and actually make the switch to change it, to actually to create a virtuous circle at the end, because then that would hopefully create the virtuous cycle, no?
Yeah.
In the positive sense.
I think the most important part in this is starting to make people understand that it's not right to be indifferent toward the others. I think that this selfishness of being indifferent is seen as, I'm doing what is best for me, and then what happens to the others, I don't care. But I think it's important to also reflect on what other people may be facing, what issues are they facing, and just, you don't know who you have in front of you until that person opens up to you. And it's better to be kind to that person than risking to hurt the person.
Sure. And so, I mean, we're getting close to a nice solution. I want to go even more into practice. Let's say that we said that ideally there should be some people who identify that problem and convert by themselves, be the change in this world. Do you think that there is a way for having more people getting aware of that, except from our personal example? I mean, something more bigger. Maybe there's no way. I'm just asking like that. Do you think that there's a way to make something at greater level than just one individual, or to make people more aware?
This is very challenging, because how can you show it? It's not that I can create like a movement of people being nice.
Or maybe with this podcast.
Or maybe with this podcast, we can reach out to people that are facing the same struggles, that maybe are feeling that they have to change their personality or their behavior in order to achieve their goals. Maybe I think we have to find also examples of people who have already achieved this, so that are known for being nice people, that did the job nicely and did not give up on their personal kindness. Maybe this could be great too.
Because I'm thinking also of one thing, which is maybe part of the problem, that when we are not nice, we have much more mediatic echo, no? So I'm imagining with politicians. If you become violent with your opponent, politician opponent, then things go viral. Basically, if you have a clash, you're gonna have a buzz, you know?
Of course.
And so maybe that's also, there could be one thing, you make me think, there could be one thing where each person shows by their example, but also maybe reducing the visibility of people who act unkind. Because having this clash that just go viral everywhere, viral,
it's not helpful.
Is actually doing the opposite. No, it's bringing more visibility, a model of being not kind. And usually, if I understand well also, the people who get visibility with that, who create a buzz and a clash, it's actually helping them. Like, they get more elected, they get better.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a way to reduce that visibility, or to let's say now you have an advantage to create a clash. Maybe we could think of some solution to create a disadvantage when using a clash?
Yeah, when like this kind of behavior is not acceptable in a field.
Yeah.
Also, you know, there are Italian politicians. One of them, currently, who is becoming super famous, is the mayor of Terni. Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name, and I don't want to name it because he said very disgusting stuff about women when dealing about violence towards women.
Mm-hmm.
And
such as
he basically told, if a man sees a woman walking on the street, if he's lucky, he can have sex with her, and if he's not, then he goes back home. And I mean, so it basically was diminishing the systemic violence against women, that is a very big issue
and
here in Italy.
Extremely irrespectful.
It's very irrespectful. It's disgusting that a politician also, because I said have sex, but he obviously uses an Italian slur that is very vulgar and should not be used in any context, but should not be used against, like when you're talking about violence towards women, it's very disrespectful and disgusting. And you would expect this person to just be destroyed by the media, to just be like, this person is just a man that should not be seen on television. And instead, he is everywhere. And there are men telling him, ah, finally someone that is saying the things how should be said, like man to man in this way. And for me, it's very, like, I get angry, but I get also very sad for this man. It's very depressing that he thinks that to reach an audience, he had to behave like this.
For that man, I mean, at the end, he manages, because, you know, he did the buzz. Now you remember it. Even now you're doing advertisement for it. So
and
at the end,
disgusting.
It's working. This is the worst part. So maybe, we should find some way that it's impossible to do that. So maybe in the media, there should be some kind of, I don't know if that would be a good idea, some kind of censorship about that. Maybe censorship is a too strong word.
Yeah, maybe, but.
But I mean, this is my question at the end. How to, because now doing this clash, doing this super irrespectful comments is helping. It's like giving visibility.
Of course.
So how can we make it this incentive? Like, you know, not an incentive.
I think it's a matter of how the system works. If the system keeps advantaging these people, it's a problem.
So
but then how can we change that?
Would you, for example, would you support a law which maybe doesn't censor, because that would be against freedom of speech, but at least maybe just like, you know, when you smoke a cigarette, there's a message written saying, hey, you shouldn't smoke. That's not a nice thing and it's not helpful for your health. Maybe there should be the same kind of message. Hey, you're being violent and irrespectful. Yes, it does the best, but it's not healthy and nice for the society.
Yeah, could be. Could also, it would be a nicer word if that could happen.
Mm.
And also, I think we should stop to say sentences like, ah, you have to detach the person from what he did in his life.
Mm.
For instance, think about Silvio Berlusconi, you know, who was a very famous politician here in Italy. And when he died, people started to criticize him for what he did in his personal life and his political life. And people supporting him started to say, ah, but you should separate him as a politician and the entrepreneur from his as a human being. And I started to ask myself, but why should I do it? Like, I'm not saying bad things about him. I'm just questioning, why should I make this separation? This is not the way it should be done. Like, was he a nice person or not? Is this the question? And if the answer is you should separate, then I think I have the answer of the question.
That's very, very good point.
Yeah.
And also, because in a way you're saying that at the end, it means that person is not putting kindness in the in his work and in the system, and thus is not helping society.
No.
That's very interesting. So, but thank you very much for all these ideas.
You're welcome.
And I will just make a short summary, if I may. Then you add if I forgot something. Basically, I'll try to make a very short summary. You're saying that we should get more kindness in the workplace just because that would just make things nicer for everybody at the end, no?
Yeah.
That's quite a pretty simple reason. And for that, you're saying that maybe what happens when people are unkind is because they learn to be unkind. And for example, in the academic field, but also in politics or in other kind of jobs, maybe because also you have an incentive to be not nice in the sense that it's associated, at least, I don't know, it's associated in people's mind, even though it shouldn't be the case, with the fact that you'll get more successful, you'll obtain more. If you are violent with others, like if you don't respect them or not kind enough, then maybe you'll get more of it. And you're saying that it's maybe a wrong way to see the things, and actually being kind is something that could make you as well successful, and you don't need to compromise on your values to get the aims that you want.
Yeah.
And then we were thinking about the solution. So since it's something that we learn, for example, via education when we are young or by seeing it around, there would be the solution. Help me, but it would be at the individual level, to be a model ourselves, so that some individuals identify what's wrong with that system and maybe change themselves by their own behavior. And then there would also be, we started to talk about that at the end, the idea that at a more systemic level, there could actually be one solution, which is, of course, to revert the cycle,
yeah.
But also seeing that this cycle is also encouraged by the visibility
that
is given from people who are unkind, and therefore maybe creating some initiatives or not giving as much visibility
of course.
Unkindness. Is that a good summary?
A very good summary, yeah.
Okay, I'm happy. Do you have anything to add?
No, I'm very happy with our conversation.
Okay. So thank you very much, and see you for the second episode another time.
The podcast is brand new. I hope you found this first episode promising. And if it's the case, please give it the best grade on the platform which you're using to listen to it. This is so important at the beginning. So thank you so much for that, and see you for the next episode.